is there is plenty of teams, though, that aren't through and safe as we look ahead to the action tonight. Basel in action, Schalke as well. And there's a man who's going to be taking us under his European football wing and getting us set and ready for a fantastic night of European footballing action. Once again, we saw Celtic humiliated. We saw Milan just get out of Holland alive. And a man who's going to talk to us about all the action joins us on the line right now. Whenever we're in a bit of a strump, we have to go to this man for European football, especially when we get to the Europa League and the knockout the early stages of the Champions League. He is the big bad Brassel himself, Mr. Andy Brassel, joining us here on World Football Daily. Andy, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. Really appreciate you taking some time out to join us. How are you doing on this fine day as we get into some Champions League football?
Yeah, good. You've set me up to make a lot of like dreadful errors with that introduction.
Well, I'm just saying that I'm pretty sure that you'll know exactly what's going to happen between Dynamo Zagreb and Austria Vienna tonight. So
I feel pretty confident I do, actually.
I think some of us might do as well with that one. But let's talk about last night's fixtures first and foremost. And what was quite possibly, well, from the uneducated fans' point of view, and I include myself in that, an embarrassing result for Celtic to kick off the Champions League qualification fixtures away in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, I know it can look bad because they're the lowest ranked team in the competition, Shakhtar Karapati, who they lost to. But, you know, I think you have to look at how football's developing, especially in Eastern Europe, edging into Asia. And, you know, the stadium was absolutely extraordinary when you saw the pictures on television. And it's clear there's a lot of resource there. I think you look further back in the competition. This was a team that knocked out Bartek Borisov in the second qualifying round. Of course, Bartey have got a lot of experience, serial Belarusian champions, a lot of experience in the Champions League. Beat Bayern Munich in the Champions League group stage this year. Let's not forget, you know, Bayern who went on to win the treble. And, you know, that's no mean achievement at all from Shakhtar. Having said that, Celtic did have a lot of chances in the game, so it's very disappointing from that perspective. I don't think it's completely dead, but they clearly need an early goal in the second leg.
I'm not searching for excuses for Celtic at all, especially with Rafa on the show later on being a Rangers fan. He'll be loving this, I'm sure. But as
surely
well,
you'll want the extra coefficient points for Scotland, no?
Well, this is what I'm thinking is that, you know, he'll want there to be enough Champions League spots so when Rangers finally get up there that them and Celtic can both participate in it, but and not get fizzled out and away into the dark depths of European football. But going all that way to Kazakhstan as well, I mean, does that come into any kind of excuse? Does that have a big effect at all? I mean, it's the same effect as some of these sides that play in Copa Libertadores when they're moving all over South America.
Yeah, I don't think it helps. And obviously, Europe is a much smaller continent than South America, so it's something that a lot of the players aren't really used to. I mean, it's the longest trip you can make. But having said that, when the draw came out the hat, like they would have thought it was one of the better ones that they could have got. You know, you wonder if just having like complete ignorance or almost complete ignorance of their opponents really played against them. Neil Lennon did say he knew the sort of game he expected them to play, and he'd seen something. But you know they were heavily punished for not taking their chances.
And Shakhtar as well just looked very efficient with set pieces. I mean, time and time again, it was just a case of, look, we don't have to create too much in the field itself. As long as we can get the right set piece at the right time, that's where we're going to be able to exploit this Celtic side and find goals. They played at the small side against the big side very well. You have to give them credit for that.
It's really unusual. I think that's the last thing you would expect Celtic to get done on, so that was really surprising to me, but yeah, I suppose you do wonder what a difference like the loss of, say, Gary Hooper has made, for example, when it comes to not making the most of those chances. Of course, they're looking to get another striker in. There are a few links in the newspapers in Britain today, but it's obviously a bit late now, isn't it?
It is a little bit too late. I mean, maybe Celtic kind of suffering with the same problems as Arsenal, if they've left doing any bit sort of business like that until the final weeks of the transfer window when there's not too much about. Let's look away from Celtic then and look at the other, what was arguably the biggest tie of this draw, aside from Fenerbahce and Arsenal, which is coming up later tonight. PSV Eindhoven taking on AC Milan. And Eindhoven, I mean, time and time again, this phrase will come up in football, you won't win anything with kids, but they did a damn good job against the Milan side that didn't look 100% after a reasonably poor pre-season by all accounts.
Yeah, no, I think this is where a little bit of extra head start maybe makes a difference. Of course, Milan not played a competitive game. And then you've got PSV who have played five competitive games so far. So, I mean it's a bit of a difference. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And certainly in the way they started the game, PSV, I think you could see there was a difference in sharpness. But also, I think it's that energy and the fact that they didn't fear the name of Milan. They didn't fear the big players that they've got. And I think you have to say, apart from the fact, you know, you look at the teenagers like Willems and Memphis, the captain Wijnaldum, who's a great player and is only 22, but I think you have to take your hat off to the experienced players as well. Steen Skaars did a great job. Park Ji-sung did, well, I guess 70 minutes, but he played very, very well as well. And, you know, I think a set of talented kids are only as good as their senior players, and the senior players did a brilliant job for them.
How important will those senior players be going back to the San Siro with the game so finely in the balance?
I think they will be important again. But having said that, you know, PSV were just fearless. I don't think these young players are cowed by anything. You know, I think they're ready to fight Ajax all the way for the Eredivisie title. I think they've got good people around them on the bench as well. Of course, Ola Toivonen is meant to be on the way out, but he's still there at the moment, so he can offer words and advice and just that bit of experience being around. But, you know, if you look at the real leader on the pitch, it's probably Adam Meyer. And, you know, he's only 20 years old. He's got, two full years of Eredivisie football behind him. And, you know, he's the one who's really leading the team forward. So whereas the senior players are doing a great job, I don't get the sense that the younger players in the PSV team are going to need calming down or saying, you know, you're just as good as them, or don't be cabbed by the arena or whatever. I don't think they will be. I don't think they'll be frightened at all.
How do you think these two team squads actually compare against each other flat out? Because obviously Milan have lost to maybe a few of the older heads over the last few years and are kind of starting this rebuilding process that a number of Italian sides are doing, whereas Eindhoven have almost kind of started that rebuilding process already and are now starting to get the youngsters to start thriving, if you will, as their careers start to progress.
I'd say it's probably the other way around. But of course, they live in slightly different economic realities. Milan will always be able to hold on to players financially and because of what and who they are for longer than PSV will. And with PSV, the players who've come in and constituted this new look side deserve enormous credit, because, you know, you look at the players who went, Strootman, Jermaine Lenz, so many of them, four or five big ones, Dries Mertens, and yet, you know, these guys have come in and formed this, you know, really tigerish collective straight away. I think Milan are a little further down the line in terms of a rebuild. They're a little bit more stable. The players who they're rebuilding with, so Balotelli, De Jong, Montolivo, obviously who came in last year as well, they're a bit more experienced and a bit more stable. I think even though the average age of Milan's down a little bit, they're a little further along the line, and having that experience is obviously an enormous help.
What about you're a connoisseur of French football as well, of course, Andy, and all things European football in general. Lyon last night going down 2-0 to Real Sociedad. Were you surprised by the way that Lyon kind of succumbed in this game, obviously losing a player as well midway through, but they didn't, from what I've seen, it didn't appear to test Sociedad as much as maybe hopefully expected?
Yeah, I think you're right, Ollie, and I think the game was done before Bisevac got sent off. He got sent off with about 20 minutes to go and it was already 2-0. It could have been more for Real Sociedad. They were fantastic. They're the best team that's played at Gerland in a very, very long time. And, you know, I think when we're talking about young players, that shows, you know, how they can be a little bit unpredictable, and how some of them, Clément Grenier, I suppose, Gonalon, who's been linked to some big teams this season, Lacazette, have still got a bit of a way to go. You know, they didn't really manage to impose themselves on the game. Again, they should have been a little bit further along the line, having played many more competitive matches already this season than Real Sociedad. But Sociedad were, you know, young, plenty of legs. They used the ball much better, even though they had less of it. Really well organised defensively. And for most of the game, Inigo Martinez was absolutely fantastic at the back. Obviously, Griezmann coming back to the club that he supported as a boy to score the first goal, and they did score two fantastic goals as well. You can't get away from that. I suppose it's not quite done yet, but I think it pretty much is done. And I think Real Sociedad will be a very, very valuable addition to the Champions League.
Well, let's hope so, and let's hope they keep scoring goals like they scored last night too. As you say, absolute crackers. Looking ahead to tonight, of course, Andy, the big tie is the Fenerbahce-Arsenal game, but what's the likelihood of Fenerbahce overturning this appeal for their ban from European competition for match fixing? Because couldn't this potentially give Arsenal a completely free run?
Well, it could do, but if I was in their position, I wouldn't want to risk it. cool. And, you know, this is going to be a really competitive tie because Fenerbahce are not only a club who see themselves wanting to make a big dent in the Champions League, and you can tell that by the fact they've spent a lot of money, especially salary-wise, on some big and experienced players like Bruno Alves, Raul Morales, of course. You know, they're a team that feels they were robbed of the Champions League in 11-12 season because they were the champions, and they were withdrawn by the Turkish FA. So, you know, I don't think they're thinking ahead too far to the result of the Court of Arbitration for Sports decision, but you know, they're just thinking what they can do now to make the most of being in it and do everything they can on the pitch to get through. They weren't very good at the weekend. They were 2-0 up against Konyaspor and then lost it in the last 15 minutes, 3-2. But I think you've got to bear in mind that they had half an eye on this. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, do you think there will be kind of that distraction, though, going into tonight's game? You talk about them having half an eye on the Champions League. Will there be half an eye on next week's decision as well, though, as they go on tonight? How easy is it going to be to keep them focused?
Very easy. The players can't think about that at all. And it's something that's been hanging over them for a long time. They know they've got to deal with it and get on with it. You know, this maybe this is their only chance to compete with the biggest teams in Europe this season. So, you know, whichever way you look at it, it's massive, whether it's them getting through or them showing that sportingly they deserve to be there, even if, you know, the decision goes against them from CAS and they don't get in.
And they're taking on Arsenal side tonight, of course, that an absolute carnage all over the place in terms of who they're trying to bring in and the problems they've got with injuries and suspensions and whatnot. This is the best time for Fenerbahce to be taking on such a weakened and kind of emotionally crippled Arsenal side at the moment.
I think it helps, obviously. But you wouldn't bet tuppence on either of them, given their displays at the weekend, I suppose. So I don't think we can read that much into it. And also, I think it's important to acknowledge that Arsenal are much more experienced at this playoff phase. They've done it, five times in the last 10 years? Mm. And apart from the little wobble at Udinese, they've never looked in any trouble at all. Now, I realise the format's changed since they were first in the playoffs in 2005, 2006. But, you know, nevertheless, Arsenal are very experienced at this. Fenerbahce have experience at choking at this twice in the last three seasons, in actual fact. They've choked in the qualifying stage in the third qualifying round. Then after they missed the year last season, they lost in the playoffs to Spartak. So, you know, Fenner have a lot to prove from, you know, a sort of, not an appetite perspective, but from, you know, a mental strength perspective. And, you know, that's why I guess they're looking to the experienced players. We know they've got quality in the likes of, you know, a sort of, not an appetite perspective, but from, you know, a mental strength perspective. And, you know, that's why I guess they're looking to the experienced players. We know they've got quality in the likes of, Moussa Sow in the likes of Bekir, in the likes of Alper Potuk, who's just come in midfield. He's one really worth watching. But it's those more experienced campaigners who've been there and done it in Europe, like Dirk Kuyt, who they're looking to sort of see them through those moments that are perhaps a little tense.
And I'm sure there'll be plenty of non-Arsenal fans hoping that Fenerbahce do them tonight, at least in Istanbul, before going back to the Emirates next week. Just finally, Andy, we've got so many other ties to try and get through, and we've got you for so little time. But out of all these ties coming up, Steaua Bucharest against Liga Warsaw, Schalke taking on Thessaloniki, which is the tie, other standout tie for this evening that people should be keeping an eye on and potentially switching over to watch?
Well, I think Schalke versus PAOK is an interesting one because, of course, PAOK are managed by Huub Stevens, who was the previous manager of Schalke twice. In fact, he was last fired by them in December last year when current incumbent Jens Keller took over. So it'll be really emotional for him going back. Of course, PAOK have got back in the competition after we were talking about clubs being sanctioned for match fixing after Metalist Kharkiv were chucked out. PAOK got a little reprieve. So they'll be looking to grab that with both hands. And, of course, Schalke coming off the back of a really hefty defeat by Wolfsburg at the weekend. They're going to have to do without Huntelaar as well, who got injured at the weekend, a knee injury that's probably going to keep him out for 5 or 6 weeks. So there's a lot of pressure on Julian Draxler, who of course should be one of the best young players in the Champions League. He's one of the best young players in Europe. So a lot of people would like to see him in. Whenever Schalke are at home in Europe, it's a tremendous atmosphere. It's going to be really full. So from a crowd perspective, from a tension perspective, from a subtext perspective, worth a watch.
And I'm sure people will be looking to see Jermaine Jones as well there for Schalke, the US men's international. Catering, of course, to our US audience here on World Football Daily. Andy, an absolute pleasure to have a chat with you about the European football coming up and last night's action as well. I do hope you enjoy the fixtures, whichever you're watching tonight. And we look forward to catching up with you in the very near future indeed, mate.
Likewise. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, Andy. Take care, mate. Andy Brassel joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things European football. The Champions League is really kicking off tonight. I mean, last night was a lovely prelude. You know, Milan playing PSV, and of course, I'm slightly disappointed that my Milan side, I felt, really edged it against PSV yesterday, and were the better side for the majority of that game. Weren't able to do the business in Holland, but hopefully getting them back to the San Siro, although I'm a little nervous about that, I have to say. And of course, Andy giving us the heads up, though, on this game tonight, Fenerbahce taking on Arsenal. What will the impact be of everything that's going on around Arsenal at the moment? Names still popping out of the hat for who they're interested in bringing into the club.